Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm your co-host, Peter Hostrasser. The other co-host, Allie Privet, will be in the hot seat today, so I cannot wait to get to that conversation. But first, just want to let you know a few things. Make sure you hit all of our connects. Allie and my connects are in the notes of this podcast. We'd love to connect with you and see what we can do to help you in professional development or anything around education. You can see what our specialties are there. Also, if you head over to disrupteducation.co, you can check out everything where I'm going to be and what's going on with the podcast and some blogs, all kinds of stuff there. I'm a proud partner in the EdUp Experience Podcast Network, so head over to edupexperience.com. You can check that out. It's pretty amazing there. A lot of different podcasters there as well. As I said before, Allie Privet will be the guest on the hot seat today, as I chat with her a little bit about her journey as she's taking a year off from the classroom. And if she is going to go back, what is she going to be doing? What's she thinking about? This is a great podcast. I love chatting with Allie. And, you know, for all those teachers and educators and even administrators out there who are looking to see how to keep some great people in the system or maybe even pivot out of the system, Allie brings it today in this conversation. We'll be right back with some messages. Hang out. The Disrupt Education Podcast is coming up. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there. And share with other people. And that's, you know, that's really powerful. And that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future and excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. Hey, Disrupt Education listeners, I wanted to talk about District Zero here for a minute. What is District Zero? It's a student-led social and emotional learning platform. I got to tell you, within the first 15 days that I've used this in my classrooms, I've empowered my learners to achieve self-awareness, resiliency, and improved emotional climate across the learner groups that I had in that classroom. I got to tell you, Uzair Hussein is the founder, and this is what he had to say about it.
If you want to see self-awareness and improve emotional climate in your classroom within 2 weeks, try this program out. You can sign up right now. It's totally free to get going. Invite your kids. And you're going to start to get that impact data. And if you feel like this is something in your organization, or if your principal starts to see this data, or your peers start to say, hey, this is something we'd like to keep moving forward, talk to this team. Get set up with their enterprise team. They're going to make sure that you guys are measuring the right KPIs, that you guys are getting to the right impact according to your school. Right. You're also going to get measurable impact, which is something that gives your students something to work towards, whatever curriculum they're working on, whether you're a CS teacher, whether you're an arts teacher. All of our students are facing what are called blockers, and we all have different blockers, but this system will help your students and you as a leader. What are blockers and how to overcome them and how to keep moving forward towards our goals?
So do yourself a favor, listen to the podcast here. And after you do that, head to the notes, check out the District Zero link, click on it, and learn more about this amazing platform. And we are back in the, I'm going to call this the second part of a two series. Allie and Peter talking about what's up in education and where they are. So, Allie, how are you?
I mean, they have to wait a week for this, and I got to wait all of 20 seconds.
Exactly. So. Yes. Yeah. So we are doing this back to back. Obviously, we have the same clothes on. We're still wearing black, and we're still wearing the prison outfit. I like that. It's a prison outfit. I don't think it looks prisony, but it looks very Italian to me. But
actually, I mean, it's not. People are gonna definitely gonna have to check out the YouTube version of this. It's just a striped shirt, but because of what you were talking about, I was like, oh, well, I'm wearing white and black. You're wearing black, and this could look like a prison outfit.
Yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
I do remember going to Alcatraz, and we brought back the Alcatraz shirts for our kids. And the funny thing is, the next year, my parents went, because my brother lives out in Northern California, and they came back for the exact same outfits for our kids. miscommunication there on the family side. So, but to kind of, you know, start coming up, I can tell Allie's thinking because she knows the questions I'm going to ask her. But, you know, we were talking a little bit about summing up the educators that we had on, Joe, Natalie, and Maureen. So if you haven't seen or heard those episodes, go back. They're three wonderful educators who are just doing some amazing things. So we kind of, pulled that apart a little bit, unpacked and repacked that, going back to skydiving. And then Allie dropped a bomb question on me. So it was like, if you could go back and you've done this, which is great. Like, so I think the premise of this whole thing, Allie, right, and correct me if I'm wrong, is one of us, I'm in the system fighting it, doing, you know, micro corrections, if you want to call them that, and playing around in there, getting angry, frustrated, winning, whatever it is, hitting every emotion. And you have been in education for 10 years as an educator at the secondary level and are now on a 1 year, possibly more, leave of absence. What do you call it? Is it sabbatical or?
Sabbatical. Yeah, that's what it's called. Like, it's called a sabbatical. Feels so, like, grown up. To be honest. I am a grown up, but you know, I mean, like, that word, people are like, a lot of people don't know what it is, but it's a leave of absence. But you can go back to your role at the end of the year. You can also decide you don't want to go back. In universities, though, it's usually like a semester or a year, and then you are coming back. It's right. Not like, so yeah, to be determined.
It depends on like contracts. So just kind of digging into that. There have been, like, I've been at schools where there's the leave of absence that is basically you do come back, or a sabbatical. And one of the, I think, most common around here is you, in Illinois anyway, you have a sabbatical, you have to study something, or you got to give a kind of a summary. And if you do a sabbatical, you are contractually required to come back for a year or two, at least, depending on what the district is. Is that anything that you have, like, at your school? Or?
I don't. I mean, you could call it a leave of absence then. Mm-hmm. But at the time of this recording, I am using this year to do other educational projects and immerse myself. Like, this is one of them, right? Like, exploring different ways to do education to kind of really figure out, you know, what do I really think about the last decade of my life? You know, that's like taking a gap year and trying to sum up, you know, experiences in the educational field, step outside of it. And if I do go back, I'm gonna have a totally different perspective, or whatever role I go into next, if it's a formal role, if I don't keep doing my own thing, the lens that I'm getting from this year is going to just kind of renew and catapult me into the next season or chapter, or actually what I'm calling, it's a whole new book. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a new chapter. I'm in a new book of my life right now. So yeah, it's, I don't know the technical term, but mm-hmm. I'm calling it the sabbatical.
Yeah. And I do like, obviously you want to link up with Allie and follow her, across. You do a lot on Instagram. I think that's one of your main places. And I've actually learned a lot, just following, you know, watching a teacher who has left the classroom. And, there are times where you're like, yes, this is amazing. You might even hear like a bell or something at a fast food restaurant and you cringe, you know. I get it. But, you know, we're earlier in the year. I mean, this is the second or third month, depending on where your school is and as you're kind of out because you have the summertime, unless you're a year-round school. But, yeah, so this is like, you know, 10 years in education. I mean, I'm going to ask you the two tough questions, but the first one is, so, yeah, 10 years ago, I'm actually 20. I'm almost 21 years in. Sometimes I ask myself this question, but if you 10 years ago, if you like know like right now what education was in that 10 year sprint that you did, and it always goes by so fast. What would you tell Allie at going into being a teacher, an educator at the secondary level?
Man, it is such a good question. I like go back in time back question. right, I know. Like, but you didn't get any time to think about this. So I'm getting the slightly thought out answer. For me, one of the biggest things that like I would tell myself, but I don't know if my 10 years ago self would really take it in, because there's something that happens with the wisdom of time and like, you know, going through those experiences. But one of the things I definitely would have told myself is to enjoy it, like get off of the hamster wheel that everyone wants you to be on and like do more and like be greater. And it's interesting, actually, I'm just thinking of this now as I am talking through this answer a little bit, but there's an educator that was in my master's program. Her name is Michelle Dempsey. I don't even know if she's actually on like social media and stuff. Well, if she is, we'll tag her and whatnot. But it was during my master's program. And she said, we had to read lots and lots of books, but she was like, look, you can only do so much. And focus on changing one thing in your classroom, one major thing in your classroom every year. And, you know, over the course of 10, 20, 30 years, you will have made substantial amount of change. So don't be like caught in like doing it all. Because that's what I felt really early on, is I had to do everything. And there is so much creating that you have to do whenever you teach a new class or you go to a new school. And certainly in your first couple of years, I mean, it's like exhausting, just the creation process. And I would have told myself, like, just slow down. Like, you know, I probably tried to do 20 things in the first year, almost burnt myself out. But I loved teaching the subject so much. And the kids, I mean, I still talk about my, you know, I'm sure you remember your first year kids. Like, you just, there's something special about them that you can't replace. I had the absolute best first year teaching experience in terms of the students that I had. And if it wasn't for them, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know if I would have kept with it, because they were just phenomenal. But it did feel like a giant hamster wheel. So if you're newer in education or thinking about it, I would highly recommend, and I have to find the book that she, I just can't remember it right now, but it is focusing on like one thing. And also I would tell myself that it really does take about 5 years to find your teacher voice, 3 to 5 years. You can think that you know who you're going to be as an educator, but you just don't know. Right. You evolved, you evolved in this podcast, you've evolved in, you know, your, how you look at education over the course of your career. And like, I was like, oh no, this is exactly who I'm going to be. No, I'm such a different teacher now and educator now than I was in my first 5 years.
Yeah, that's hard. And I think the first 5 years are, that's essential. I mean, you had a few saving graces there that kind of helped you get through that. I mean, we have a lot of educators that burn, you know, 3 to 5 years, right? So that's
very common.
Yeah. Right. I think that's something interesting. It says something about, you know, the thing that scares me, what you said in there, is like the culture of the way the job is. And, you know, we look outside at all the different cultures of newer, like the, I'm going to generalize, the Google of everything else, right? And you come to a point where you either have to accept the fact that, yeah, we're never going to be the Google, and I'm going to be okay with that. And I'm being kind of a downer here, but hey, what the hell? Or you make your move and you're like, yeah, you know what? I want to go work for a Google of whatever, you know? So that's tough. And thank you for sharing that. That's very difficult. It's a decision. And sometimes, unfortunately, in education, it becomes a life decision because there's pensions involved. There's, you know, all these different things that are involved depending on where you are in the States. There are, you know, kids you have, like when I left schools, right? Like, and you left schools, you left kids behind or whatever, you know, they have to work with other people. And there's that sense of, you know, duty to somebody else versus yourself. So that kind of runs into my next question is, so we're, you know, You're a couple months in. It's still rather early, I would say, for an entire year. But I think you live an entire year every month, because watching the things that you're doing in the last months, it's like incredible. I mean, you are like, if anybody wants to be coached on how to swing for the fence, talk to Ali. I mean, honestly, like you're in Italy right now, right? And you're making things happen. You're traveling around. You're still continuing your education. You're still continuing to teach others. What are the variables? I'm going to shoot the question. Like, what are the variables? What are the variables that are going to keep you out of the classroom, and continue on a different path? Or what are the variables and what are the variables that will get you back into a classroom and continue to, you know, continue your teaching and education journey there?
Oh, the variables that will keep me in is, of course, like, you know, I love chemistry, right? So I love science. I love helping people get excited about science. My brain just like sees science everywhere. So, you know, getting to do that with a generation or with people will always, I think, be some part of like whatever I do. Just because it's such a core part of me. Like, I don't even know how to remove it. But in terms of going back into a traditional school model, even now being out. And I would say also because of like just this podcast series and just all the conversations we have and I have with other people just talking about disrupting education and what it means to be an educator. Like, this year is showing me like how much more I need to push back on the system that I was a part of and really complicit with for so long. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting, like, if I'm thinking about going back, I'm thinking about what opportunities are there for me to go gradeless or to shift the narrative around testing or to do curriculums where we're meeting the learners where they're at. How can I, as an educator, support students in a way that also supports me, right? Like, there needs to be a better balance. So, right, like, it's interesting, like, that last question, like, what would I tell myself? Like, don't burn myself out. But I would also be like, how can I be a better teacher advocate, right? Like, this job is insane. If you actually like break it down, like what we have to do on a daily basis and who we're responsible for. And these are like children. I mean, at the end of the day, they are protected individuals and they have a lot of needs. And right. And so you like, you push all of that aside, your own needs, your own life aside in order to serve those that are in front of you each and every day. And it is an on job. Like, not being on in the classroom now for, I mean, we're coming up on like 5 months, like, you know, summer, yeah, that's normal, but like, right, it's still a break from being on every single day. It's hard to imagine a life where I am on all the time again. And so a variable, we've talked about this in times where it's like, how do I keep myself from being that like person at the front to being like in the messy middle? So like looking for school cultures that are really interested in doing education differently is a variable that I'm really interested in now, way more than I've ever been before. Like, I always thought like, oh yeah, like I'll try this different stuff. I love inquiry learning, I love project-based learning. I love, you know, these micro, you know, things that I can control. But now it's like, I feel like I'm growing into this like macro phase of, I'm not interested in the normal. So, hey, if you're not doing school normally and you need a science educator, someone, you know, that wants to, you know, get down and dirty with education and just like really robustly change it, that's what I'm looking for. So.
Is there a school out there right now you want to give a shout out to that you would actually?
I don't, you know, like the thing is like, I'm not in that phase, right? So it's like, I'm not in that phase of like actively looking, right? Like I'm just exploring opportunities, right? So like one of the things that I am getting to do is I'm teaching this really radical science literacy class in January. I've never seen anything like it before. I'm super stoked to do it, partnering with Bard College. And that project enticed me for every single reason I just listed. Mm-hmm. They're 18 year olds. It's a freshman level class. And they're doing radically different. I've never seen science taught like this. And they're willing to push the envelope, and it's just like a great, you know, thing. And so it's like, I'm not interested in the status quo anymore. Give me something different.
There are so many people who say that and then they don't do it, whether they're in the classroom or outside. And, you know, I can appreciate the fact that, you know, when you select people that you're going to work with and network with, et cetera, you know, you do find the people like, I mean, for me, I think one of the things that I struggle with is the people who are not, don't accept that status quo, but then they don't do anything, right? And I can't hang with those people. I don't know. It's very difficult for me. Where do you stand on that line? Like, you know, because in a school, there are a lot of people, students, parents, educators, whatever, that are okay with the status quo or will say, yeah, this sucks, but whatever. And then they just kind of lie over and die, you know? And I don't know. That's very hard for me to swallow. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, so I know I'm blessed to take a year off and just kind of pick and choose my projects. That's not always a reality for some people for whatever their reasons and life circumstances are. And so I've been at, just like you, in plenty of places in my career where you're like, oh, we could just change all of this. But then it's almost like the system is so full and they keep people so busy. It's this hamster wheel. And so it's like, yeah, you might like pause and talk to your buddy and be like, hey, yeah, like this, we really want to do all this radical shift. And you're like, oh, but I have to do this laundry list worth of stuff. And it just gets pushed to the side. And it's almost like I will go back to Maureen's episode. And like, if you don't follow Maureen and everything, she basically just decided to create what she wanted. She stepped out and I believe she has a book about it and she talks about it. And just podcasting about it. If you want to learn about microschooling and like how to basically take education into your own hands, like I don't know if someone better her. And so it's like, but you have to literally lock arms with people like that. An episode a long time ago now, months ago, was Joel Vargas. And he, you know, he's doing this amazing work at JFF, and it's like, it is doing stuff differently, and they're literally partnering with schools. Like you have to lock arm, you know, you talk about Iowa Big, and I know there's a school out in like California. So it's just like, at some point you have to remove yourself from the system. And this is my unfiltered, you know, thing, like, right. Like you have to, at some point you will realize like, I can't be complicit in a system that I like is so different than how I feel about it now. Like the micro, doing stuff at the micro level, like in your own classroom, isn't big enough.
Right.
And so who knows, you might be getting there, Peter.
I think I'm getting closer. I don't know. I wanted to kind of round this out, and thank you so much for sharing your lens. I think a lot of people, again, are looking at, including myself, I mean, watching what you're doing and how you're doing it, and how does it fit into who, you know, what I want to do or what other teachers want to do. You know, we all have like different responsibilities and different paths and different things like that. But if you were to have an educator, whether they're 5 years or 25 years or anywhere in between, that is like, I'm thinking about doing something else, what would you tell them?
I wouldn't say, like, go back to school and get more certifications. Funny enough, I was on the teacher's lounge the other week, and that was, like, something that was said. And I was like, whoa, why are we asking teachers to do more? Like, do less. Do less. I am not about putting more on teachers' plates, because having been a teacher, I know how full that plate is. It's like literally plates on plates on plates all up your arm. But if you're thinking about doing something different, if you can, okay, if it's feasible for you to make a plan, like I should preface this with, like, I did not just like willy-nilly leave my job. Like, I planned it out a year in advance.
Yeah.
Made, like, worked on, planned on doing this well in advance. Okay. So it's like, you need a long runway, longer runway than you think. I would say at least 6 months mm-hmm. to a year, plan out, and then find stuff you're passionate about that is outside of education, or it's like not in the, like, whatever role you're in now. Right. So like teaching the science literacy class at a university is not something that I've ever done, but it's something that I'm doing this year. And I actually got it a long time ago, right? Well before I was kind of like when I was making the decision to do it. Mm-hmm. So I would say, don't just like, oh yeah, like I'm going to quit and like, I'm going to just go start a new school. Like, link arms with people who are doing the work, reach out to them. You're usually like the most amazing, people. We're gonna have more of them on, yeah. I'm certain, over as time goes on, and give yourself a long runway to find projects outside of what you're doing but are still within, you know, like, it doesn't, it like starts smaller than you even think. And if you have an idea of something that you want to do, reach out to Peter and I and we'll tell you if it's yep. too big.
Yeah, right.
As people have been like working on this now, and you for a long time with the mm-hmm. podcast and everything, we can kind of like, and there's lots of people that can guide you, be like, that's a great place to start, or that's way too much, because you don't want to burn yourself out on like this new project and get nowhere, and then you just feel like you're stuck back in the hamster yeah. wheel. So that's what I would say.
That's excellent advice. I've seen it both ways, you know, and it's good to say, because I never knew how long like you planned before you took this year. I also have unfortunately seen a lot of teachers who are just so like done. They jump. There's the carrots that are dangled by ed tech companies and all these things, and it doesn't turn out right. I mean, it is way wrong. They haven't planned. They haven't had to develop the relationships. They haven't, you know, done these things. So you feel for those teachers, because you know they're so desperate sometimes. And sometimes it's, you know, I mean, they're, you know, stereotypically it's a younger, I say an earlier in their career teacher, because they're like, I can't, no. And they haven't really honed in on, you know, the skills they've already created, even in 1 year, even in one semester of teaching, the skills that you can build. And they're just like, oh, this looks great over here. And by the way, they're paying maybe 60% more than I'm getting paid, and I'm going to jump. And, you know, sometimes ed tech companies don't do their homework and they don't really know who you are. They just like, you're a teacher. And unfortunately, there are some wolves out there too. So you do have to take your time and plan. That's wonderful advice, just to take a moment. It's very hard for me because I'm not patient, but to take a moment and to really start to put things together and go forward with that. So excellent advice. How wrapping it up, we do have some cool guests coming up. We won't shout out any names yet, but keep in tune. But you know, any last thoughts before we jump into some very interesting guests that we continue the series?
I love the series. It's maybe shifting. I won't say too much, because to be determined.
Yeah.
We got to keep it a little under wraps. Get you ready for the next one.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've just heard so many great voices of what, if we go back, we should even do this, go back and look at like episode one, where did we start this conversation to like, wow, where are we now with yeah. it? It'd be so different. So, right in August, and it'll be November now when this yeah. comes out. It's just, it's such a different time, thing, but yeah, give yourself time. Don't be afraid to, you know, go yeah. big or go home, I guess. That's right. What I do. I mean, I jump out of planes and it's fine. That's what I'd end with.
I just jump out of planes.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Let's
you go honestly, back to another episode,
right?
If you want to know more about that.
And honestly, everybody, you know, just connect with us. We are community builders. We're also part of a lot of different communities. Some of the communities that Allie's a part of, I'm not part of. I'm part of some that Allie's not of. So we're just crossing paths here, and it's pretty amazing. And well, here's to continuing, and we hope to hear from all you listeners. And thank you so much for hanging out with us again. We got some more stuff coming up every Wednesday morning, 5 o'clock Central AM. These things drop 6 Central in the East Coast. So we'll talk to you soon.